What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Good morning, Dr. Stewart. It's nice to have you in the studio.
Good morning, Mike. Thank you for having me again. It's lovely to be back.
It's Mental Health Week this week. We've been talking about mental health all week, mainly youth, but we've covered such a broad range of topics regarding mental health.
Yeah.
And it's great that you're in today.
I'm delighted to be here.
And you specialise in, well, you do a lot in men's mental health in particular.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Can we have a chat about that today?
That much marginalised group, the white middle-aged male, yes.
That's right.
No, I do. And it is a serious topic, Mike. It's a topic that is, we discuss it within medical circles all the time, that men just don't come in to talk to us. And that is slowly changing, but very slowly. It's glacially slow. And so when I look at the number of mental health patients that I deal with on a weekly basis, by far the majority are female. So either women are grossly affected by mental health more than men, or more likely they're just more willing and more capable of coming in. But one area in particular that men are, I think, in many ways overlooked is actually during the birth of their first child.
Okay.
It's an interesting dynamic that happens at that time of a life, because mums get lots of support, quite rightly, and I don't want to try and detract from that. It's a very, very important time for mum and bub and whatnot. But in that process, oftentimes men kind of fall by the wayside. So reflecting on my own experience way back when my firstborn was born, the sense of being the elephant in the room, the sense of being a spare part, the sense of me being the midwives looking upon me as being the thing that caused all this pain and suffering, which is not untrue, but at the same time, you definitely feel very much like you're, you know, not really particularly welcome. And I don't think that's an intentional process by any stretch of the imagination. I think it's just a function of the fact that the woman is quite rightly the priority. Mm. But that doesn't mean that men can't be there to support and to help and to do what they can in order to ease that process. Through that, after that, once we leave hospital, that's a terrifying experience in its own right. Even as a doctor, I found it horrifying. My wife and I were both doctors when we walked out of that hospital holding this baby going, what do we do with this thing?
Is that right? Even from a doctor's perspective?
Even from a doctor. Well, this is the thing, Mike. This is the thing. I know what to do when he stops breathing. Right, I can deal with that, but I kind of figure my job as a dad is to prevent that from actually happening in the first place. So it was that missing piece of information. So I had to learn just as much as any other mum and dad.
On the job,
exactly, as we all do. Mm. And hopefully we fumble our way through and we get to a point where we understand it better. And that makes me a better doctor to my patients now, because I have that experience. But nonetheless, it's a terrifying time. And it's a time when your life changes in some ways predictably, and in other ways completely unpredictably. And the changes and the impacts that that can have on men at that stage in their life shouldn't be overlooked, because often it is, because the focus is on the baby and on mum and on how they're doing, and men just kind of have to pull their way through, and especially in a group who are reluctant to come to the doctor and say, do you know what, mate, I'm really struggling. Mm. That can be a real challenge. So men often become very introverted, reflective on that, but not capable or willing of coming in and speaking to somebody who can actually help navigate that dangerous territory for them.
Can that potentially last for a while? Like from the first birth, their first child?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then if nothing's said, and you sort of keep that to yourself,
It can fester. I often liken mental health to any other physical ailment, because it is a physical ailment. It just manifests as emotional distress or other things. Mm. But much like a broken leg, if you leave a broken leg, Mike, it'll heal. It'll look a bit messed up. You know, your knee will be off to one side and you'll hobble a bit, but it'll heal. It just won't be pretty.
Yeah.
And in many ways, mental health can be the same. It largely will heal, but it'll cause other problems in its wake. So it needs to be professionally treated in order to make it controlled, better dealt with, make it go away, and hopefully arm that person for the future.
Have you got clear, fond memories of that time, the first birth?
Oh, not that first 3 months, Mike. No.
In the hospital?
Sleepless. Oh, no.
Was that?
That was terrifying. That was terrifying. Well, it wasn't the most straightforward of deliveries, let's put it that way. Yeah. So we got rushed through to the theatre.
Quick rush through.
And that in and of itself, I knew what was going on and I was terrified. I can't begin to imagine how terrifying. I haven't been through that experience not being medically qualified, but I understand how helpless people must feel, because I felt very helpless, even though I knew what could potentially be going wrong. And, you know, thankfully, everything was fine. But, you know, I have seen circumstances, I have got patients where it's not gone as smoothly, it's not gone as well, the outcome was not what they wanted. And my whole life was on that table, Mike.
Exactly. I thought I was going to pass out. Because the sight of blood for me, I go weak at the knees, but I survived.
You've given me too much information to toy with you now, mate.
Well, you know what? We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. We are talking, it is Mental Health Week this week. We are talking men's mental health today with Dr. Stewart. Are you a new dad? Give us a call, 9313-0985. Back after this. This is Weekdays with Mike. Dr. Stewart is in the studio. It is Mental Health this week, and we've been chatting about mental health all week. And today, a bit of a focus on men's mental health, Dr. Stewart. Mm. What does anxiety and depression look like?
It varies, Mike, is the honest, truthful answer. But actually, probably the most classical presentation from a male perspective. A man will walk in and go, "Wife made me come in."
Oh, okay. Is that the opening line?
Often.
And that's the reason why I'm here to see your doctor?
I don't think I need to see your doc, but the wife made me come in.
Okay.
Yep. Which is fine. That's a great opener, actually, because it tells me everything I need to know. It actually tells me there's a problem. Okay. Because let's face it, most guys are really not going to come in if they genuinely don't think there's a problem.
Yeah.
They would push back on it.
Where do you go from there? That's clear to you.
Yeah. So then you ask, well, why does the wife think you need to come in? She thinks I'm a bit down. Okay. So then I start to ask about the kind of classical questions. Interestingly, one of the first things that men say is, I don't know how to talk about this.
Okay.
And that's been, it makes sense. But actually, you know, you don't need to know how to talk about it. You just need to let me know that you want to talk about it or that you need to talk about it. I'll do the rest of the heavy lifting from there. But oftentimes, the picture of anxiety or depression or stress or whatever we want to call it, labeling it is not important. It's important for me to identify what it is so that I can treat it properly, but it's not really important what we call it. But if things are not going well for whatever reason from a mental health perspective, oftentimes there is an obvious low mood that's pervasive in somebody's life, so they just feel like most days are bad days or down days.
Just feel down. Yeah.
That they have a loss of interest in doing things, and that's always a big sign for me. So if you talk to people and you say, you know, what are your hobbies? Oh, you know, I used to play basketball, but I've kind of not really gone back to it. Or I used to do woodworking, but you know, I just can't find the time or the energy. You know, I used to do this, I used to do that, but I just haven't done it for a while. That's always a bit of a red flag for me.
So that disinterest can be across the board.
Yeah, can be a number of
could
things.
Could be family, yep. Things to go to,
yeah.
Hobbies, yep. all sorts of things.
So social life
work?
Generally. To an extent, but the trouble with work is we all need to pay the bills at the end of the month. So usually we'll grunt along and we'll turn up and we'll do what we need to do. But yeah, it certainly can manifest as a kind of lack of motivation in work or in, you know, failure to achieve progression that we maybe expected to achieve at an earlier point in our life. So we expected maybe to be promoted, but then that never materialized, possibly because it was apparent to our employers that actually, you know, you weren't really putting in the effort or you were turning up, but that was about it.
Yeah.
The other things that we often see are poor sleep quality. So over or under sleeping, over or under eating is another one. So either gaining weight or just kind of being apathetic about food and just, you know, I'll eat if I'm hungry, but it's not that often and I'm just kind of not that bothered about it.
Just don't care.
Yeah.
You like just kind of whatever.
Lose. Yeah. Irritability is a big one. Irritability is definitely a common feature, and just, you know, you snap at people. And again, it tends to not be your boss you snap at, because there are very definite financial consequences. So oftentimes it's our families, it's the people that we care about that we know it's safest to snap at, albeit, you know, longer term, that's not a clever strategy, but we're not really thinking long term. We're just trying to deal with the now. We're trying to firefight rather than plan.
Would family be the first to really notice, do you think?
Oftentimes.
But the individual, you often can't see it yourself?
I think it's because it's subtle, Mike. It doesn't, you know, you don't wake up and think, oh man, I'm depressed today.
I better go make an appointment.
Yeah. Mm. Dr. Stewart can help me out. Mm. No, it creeps up on you.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. The lines are open. Love to have a chat with you today. You can be anonymous as well. Give us a call, 9313 0985. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Regular guest Dr. Stewart is with me. We're talking men's mental health this morning.
Yep.
And a very good morning, Jackie.
Oh, hello. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
As the doctor was speaking, Dr. Stewart, you almost described my husband to a T, but this has been over at least 2 years, and I've suspected practically everything that I can think of, or, you know, let's chat to the doctor together.
Yep.
And he absolutely refuses to believe that there is anything wrong and that he's not the problem.
Yeah.
And yet, he doesn't have a friend anymore, hardly goes to any family functions. And so I'm just wondering, who do you go to from there?
It's a challenge, Jackie. I 100% agree with you. And this is the challenge that a lot of partners and loved ones face, is trying to convince the guy to come in. It's about being understanding and not being too forceful. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, all those kind of things. But the way we deal with it is to try and encourage them gently to seek some help, and to say, look, if you go and speak to the doc and they say there's nothing wrong, I'll leave you alone. And generally speaking, that's exactly how I see these guys coming in. The wife said, I've got to come in or she won't stop nagging me, and which is fine. That's great. As long as it's gentle and not too forceful, because ultimately you don't want to alienate them and make things worse. But a lot of these symptoms that I've described and that you see are chiming with your husband, they sound they're the classical symptoms. There are often others, but I think possibly taking the tack of reminding him of how things used to be, and the fact that things are no longer as they are, or as they were, and letting him know that there is support and help out there. There are understanding professionals who are not going to force him to take medication or go and sit in a circle with other people and sing Kumbaya and all the other things that people assume are going to happen. Yeah. It's about understanding how this is impacting on him and understanding what we can do.
Dr. Stewart, I was wondering, would it be helpful if I went to the doctor to chat and just explain the situation? Would he, maybe, or she, invite Peter to come in?
Yeah, unlikely. Now, I'll explain why. We can't really on those circumstances because of confidentiality. So I can't even tell someone if their partner or loved one is a patient of mine without their permission, let alone you know, invite them in for a chat or whatever. What can be helpful, however, is if you know the doctor and you know who it is you want to speak to, you can go and talk to them. Number one, because this is impacting on you. And to detour very slightly from men's mental health for just a brief second, your husband's mental health challenges impact on you too. And we shouldn't overlook that. So don't forget to look after yourself in this situation. But further than that, although if a wife of one of my patients comes in and says, oh, doc, do you think this could be depression? I can't really answer that without examining the person, and I certainly can't share that diagnosis without their permission. But I can listen to what you tell me, and that does help to inform when and if he does decide to come in and see me. So that can be useful.
Jackie, really appreciate your call today. All the best with that. And you are in the running to be one of our weekdays winner today. Great question.
Yeah.
From Jackie there. Do you come in together, or is it a separate thing? And thanks for clarifying that.
And sometimes coming in together is a good option, and some men will feel more comfortable. Other times it feels like they just want to come in on their own, partly because they're hoping that I'm going to say, man, there's nothing wrong with you, mate.
Yeah.
And partly because if I say, yeah, you're depressed, they want to just deal with it on their own, because that's that's how they're dealing with it now. They don't want necessarily to have external involvement or have as few people involved as possible. It is an intensely personal thing, but it can be helpful to have that support. So knowing you've got support, regardless of whether they're in the room or just at home waiting for you, that's invaluable.
So good, Doctor. We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. This is Weekdays with Mike. Dr. Stewart, our resident regular doctor, is in the studio. We've been chatting about men's mental health. It is Mental Health Week this week.
Yep.
Just to finish off today, Dr. Stewart, what some tips and solutions before you go.
Tips and solutions. Yes. I let me cure the world with one stroke, Mike. Is that what you're
can
asking
you
me?
That?
Can I fix people?
You are a doctor. I mean, how hard can it be?
You haven't seen my certificates, have you?
Actually, we should follow up on
that. Now that I mention it. No, I promise I am. Let's skip over that one quickly. No, how do we deal with it, I think, is the key question. Yeah. And Jackie on the call there sort of raised that question in some respects too. It's difficult. This is not easy stuff, but it is bread and butter for your GP. And that's important because that's the first port of call. If we think there's a problem, come and talk to us about it. I'll know within 20 minutes, half an hour, if we have that conversation. Okay. I will know if there's something going on or if there's nothing to deal with or something in between. So speaking about it first and foremost, trying to understand what's happening, how it's impacting on you, and whether you actually do at the end of that feel there's a problem or not. If there is, let's deal with it, let's fix it. And there are lots of ways to fix it. People always assume I'm going to just pull out the prescription pad and give them lots and lots of drugs. That is absolutely not the case.
Is that a fear, do you think? Do you think there's a fear with a lot of guys go, am I going to be on some medication
and people assume it's going to be addictive or it's going to change their personality or all these kind of things. That is not what I want to have happen at all if we get to the point of prescribing something.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever I take it as a bit of a personal challenge to try and not prescribe things when I possibly can.
It's good.
I often don't make it past the first patient. Other times I get to a tea break and I've actually managed to make it happen, and that's great because medicine is absolutely not the panacea. It's not the only option for anything. It often is necessary, and that is when I'm going to make a recommendation. But ultimately, there are a number of ways we can deal with it. And generally, the first way is I want to talk to you more. I just want to talk. That's all I want to do, is talk to you and understand it. And people don't sometimes get that. Men just think, oh, no, that's a bit flowery and a bit, you know. And I'm being very general here, Mike. Yeah. I appreciate that there are a lot of men who don't feel that way. But oftentimes the story I get from men who are reticent to come in the first place is, oh, I don't want to just sit down and talk about my feelings. That's not how this is going to work. And agreed, that may not be the right course for everyone. Mm. But that's what I would like to do to begin with, is just to understand the problem, to ask you a bunch of questions and figure out how this is impacting you, what the symptoms are, and then I can make some recommendations and you decide which one of those you think is the right way forward. So it might be going and speaking to a psychologist or a counsellor. It might be just coming and talking to me on a regular basis, and I do that very often too.
Okay.
It might be medication. It might be nothing. It might be any other thing. There are a number of ways we can deal with it. The important thing is to come and talk about it.
Start the conversation.
Indeed. Start the conversation.
It's great. We are out of time once again. I really appreciate you coming in, Doctor. Before you go, I've had this itch on my elbow. I'm just wondering if there's anything serious.
Oh, let's have a little look there, Mike.
There's nothing to worry about there?
We should talk about that, Mike.
Okay. How about we play? So we'll come back and have a chat.
Sounds good.
Love it. Here's Whitney.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.